Welcome to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast with AIG, dedicated supporters of amateur golf in Ireland. This series will showcase some of the incredible amateur golf in Ireland across the year. Go visit AIG.ie for a range of golf-exclusive discounts and benefits for their products. Golf Ireland members can save an additional 10% on car insurance, and you can enjoy some exclusive benefits when you choose AIG Insurance. The Bogeyman will also be bringing you closer to the action, even if you can't attend some of the tournaments this year in person. We will be live streaming the final round of the East of Ireland Championship, the Men's and Women's AIG Close Amateur Championships, and the AIG Cups and Shields Finals. These events will be broadcast live on our YouTube channel and social channels. We'll have cameras on site and on course to bring you some of the best amateur golf in the country. In this episode, I'm joined by one of Ireland's latest talents to turn professional, currently competing on the Alps Tour. He's a reigning AIG Irish Close champion, Rob Moran.
I remember we were just like shaking our heads at each other, just thinking like, what on earth are we doing out here? Some of the best memories from amateur golf definitely were some of the team stuff. And that was probably the most nervous because, like, I can't do anything about it. I don't really know who I'd compare myself to. Probably Brian Harman because we're both about 5'6". When he won home internationals in Hankley Common, just came down to a final putt. Senior Cup then last year at the Castle. Like, it's kind of like everyone pulling for each other.
Rob Moran, you're one of the latest Irish talents to turn professional after a very, very successful amateur career. You're just back from Egypt. How's pro life treating you so far?
Yeah, it's been all right. Like, it's Egypt was an interesting enough spot. Like, the golf was nice, the food wasn't so good, but the weather was perfect. So, and played relatively all right. So, happy enough with the start.
Yeah, it was what, T6, T11, T21. I guess the last three.
T7. Yeah, no, like, it was solid enough golf. Yeah, probably a couple more putts have dropped and they could have been higher finishes. But, like, overall, like, looking through stats and everything, there wasn't anything standing out for being too good or too bad. So, yeah, nice enough start. Like, I'm happy to have settled in all right.
So pro life's still probably pretty new to you. How were the first few weeks kind of fighting for a paycheck in comparison to amateur status?
Well, I didn't really... It was kind of... I wouldn't say fighting for a paycheck, but it was kind of interesting because it's an order of merit year. The amount of stories you hear of lads, he missed out by graduating by 50 quid or 50 points, whatever it was. So even like the first few events, like I birdied two of my last three, the first event come 21st, but it's kind of amateur golf. If like the difference between 25th and 21st, you're not really thinking of it. So like coming down the last few holes to finish there decent enough was all right. Even the second week, probably had a chance going into the last round to maybe win. Didn't play great for the first 13, 14 holes, but then had a birdie and an eagle to finish. And it's kind of just nice to finish off rounds like that as nice as possible for the order of merit to pick up as many points. Like, sure. Amateur golf, if you're kind of, yeah, like the difference between 11th and 14th, yeah, like there's probably world ranking points at the time, but like,
to you personally, yeah, probably a little
irrelevant. Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of nice. I haven't really been in that experience of like, well, like every point as the year goes matters, so it's kind of nice to finish off. I think I finished all three tournaments like a couple under for the last few holes, so it's kind of nice to pick up. It's kind of a slightly different mindset playing them last few holes, and I was happy that I kind of adapted pretty well to it and finished off pretty decent.
What is that different mindset that you're talking about then?
Well, it's just kind of, it's like the second tournament especially, it was like knock on my way, and maybe before it's kind of like, oh, I can't win. Like, or I'm not going to come top 3, 4, 5. It's kind of like you're kind of thinking of what if, when I was kind of pretty good at kind of going, well, I'm not winning, I'm not coming third, I'm not coming fourth. Like, I'm here now. Can I move my way up? I think it was Montgomery said something about, he won a lot of European Order of Merit titles. He was kind of saying his goal every final round was, you're not going to win every time, but if I can move my way up every Sunday or fourth round, third round for us on the Alps Tour, if I could just move my position better, he was happy enough with that. So it's not like you're coming 15th and it's like all out, be an idiot to come first. And if you come first, you come 30th. Like, it's just chip away whatever position you're in, try to improve it.
That's really interesting for what you're calling like an order of merit year or a rankings year.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like the opposite to the way you watch like some like Roy McIlroy play at the moment, where Rory, if he's not in contention, he's so freed up and just goes and attacks at everything.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when you say it's probably not conservative, but like it's a different motivation to get from maybe 21st to 11th.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say conservative. It's kind of like, I don't even know if it's like, I would just say I was pretty happy with going the last few tournaments. Like, this is where I am now. Yeah. I'd rather be tied for the lead playing the last few holes, but I'm not.
Of course.
Like, I'm here now. Can I be in a better place?
Okay, yeah.
After, like, almost pretty much after every shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, rather than kind of letting the shoulders drop and thinking, geez, I wish I was your man.
Sure.
Up the last leading, or like, just how can I improve where I am now better? Which is kind of,
yeah, for sure,
a nice way to be.
Because I guess also the, like, the volatile nature of golf as well is like, obviously you finish tied for seventh in your most recent tournament. The gap between first and seventh sometimes isn't that massive. That like, if you're playing solid, something can very much happen to the leaders, and all of a sudden you go from seventh to second.
Yeah.
So to keep it in it like that and keep yourself focused is crucial, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. And then even just finishing the tournaments off nicely, it's kind of, you're kind of looking forward to the next one a bit more rather than you're rolling your eyes having your food after the round. So yeah, no, it's happy enough.
For sure. So the season's kind of, it's new enough at the moment. You're already going 3 or 4 weeks into it. Have you had a chance to look back on your amateur career? And if so, kind of, we'll start off with this. Did you achieve everything that you kind of set out for or hoped?
I wouldn't, nah. Like, there's a lot of stuff I did that I was pretty happy with. But no, I didn't achieve everything. But you're not really, I don't think. There's very few people that you could say, when they left amateur golf, no one really achieves everything that they set out to do in amateur golf. Professional golf's the same. You could probably say Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, they're probably the only two people that have probably, I don't even, Tiger being Tiger probably hasn't, achieved everything he wanted, but like, yeah, like there's a lot of good stuff to it. So yeah, not happy enough with it.
So I guess people looking at your playing career to look at just like the results, and well, if they didn't follow you quite as closely as many of us do, probably say trajectory. It's been very straightforward. It's been very kind of upward curve.
Yeah.
Has it been that way, I guess, from your own personal perspective?
Well, I'd say probably since 2018 till probably early last year, it was pretty up. And then probably the middle part of last year, it was kind of a bit of a blip, didn't play very good, but that kind of just happens. Like, there's no one's really going to go up the whole way, but it's kind of one of them ones. At the time, you obviously, you're hating it. Like, I wasn't hating golf, but it's like you're hating not playing how you'd like to be playing.
Sure.
But it's kind of one of them ones. Now I look back on it, probably 8-9 months ago, you learn a lot more. Like, it's, golf's hard. Like, but there's this bit you pick up of maybe, like, at the time I probably wasn't playing as bad as I might have thought I was playing, like that sort of stuff. You're never really as far off, and you might start digging a bit deeper, but it's kind of like, yeah, for the most part it's upwards enough, probably getting better most years. Kind of had a bit of a blip, but then I kind of picked it up towards the end of last year, which I was pretty happy with. So
you picked up golf when you were very, very young, from what I heard.
Yeah.
How young were you? And kind of,
like probably since I was walking. I would have said since I was quite small, but I still am, so that's been a while. Mum and dad would be decent enough golfers. I think dad might have been off 5, mum's maybe got to like 8, but like mum didn't pick it up till she was quite late as well. Okay. So kind of when I was a kid, she was probably starting off as well, and then had a few older cousins that would have played down in Wexford in the summers and stuff like that. So it was just, and then probably I remember, you could become a member of the Castle at 10, but like I was kind of up playing there a bit when I was maybe 8-9 with dad, because I used to have the 10 to 13 as like a loop of 4 holes, which is kind of like when you're 8 years old. Well, it's perfect for dad because he was probably playing Junior Cup or in and around that level, so that was perfect for him to, if he had an hour after work, keep taking me away from mum, keep her happy, and he could play his golf as well. So yeah, I remember the 10th hole in the Castle off, like, there's a big dip of the valley. It's probably, I don't know what it is, from the red to the yellow tee box, it's probably 60 yards to carry. So I remember, like, that was kind of the goal, to get over that at one stage. So yeah, you move on pretty fast from them days.
How quick did it take you to carry the 60 yards?
I don't know. I'd say a few shots and I didn't get over it every time after. I remember I was playing the father and son, my dad, the foursomes competition up there. And I remember I stone cold topped one and he was down the bottom of it. And I was pissing myself, laughing at him, having to hit the next shot. So, yeah, good memories from back that age.
What's the castle like for juniors and kind of even from your own perspective? Mm-hmm. What was it like getting into golf? Was how good a club was it for kind of promoting junior golf?
Like at the time, it was unbelievable for me. Like I couldn't have thought of many better places. Like I remember you'd rock up in the summers. It'd be Monday and Wednesday mornings. I remember you'd rock up at 7:30, 8:00. And I remember, like, I was probably 11, 12 years old. Like, there's like the Fred Daly teams, there were so many good players at the time. You'd be on the putting green and someone would rock up to the first tee playing and you'd look at your man, you'd hear he's an 8 handicap. And kind of at the time being like a junior at that age, I was kind of thinking, geez, 8's not very good. Like, he's probably 16 or 15 just because there are so many good players like McKeever's, Alex Leeson, Jack Walsh, like representing Ireland. Playing for Leinster, doing well in under-15s boys championships. So you always had a lot of people and they were good to me, but like you were always playing with better people when I was a kid, and like, so like that couldn't have been any better for me. And like there's just so many like good, and we had the Valley as well, the par 3. Like that was like you'd play your Monday, Wednesday, you'd go up, have a bowl of chips and you'd be there for 4 or 5 hours. So you'd look back at it now and it's just amazing. Like I remember it's, there's a foursomes match that was 100 holes around the par 3 course. Wow. So it's a 6-hole course. So like, I don't know how long that took. And like playing someone for your golf ball, like it was very good. And then even the club were good at like getting you into playing Jimmy Bruin or Barden Cup. Like that kind of, like, obviously when you're young playing under 15s or Fred Daly's really good. But then when you're getting thrown in against like adults and stuff like that, it's only going to be good for your maturity and your golf. So that was such a good place to grow up playing.
Do you feel like an onus now to pass on your experience and your knowledge now? You're saying that you were young playing with better guys.
Yeah.
Do you try and do the same thing now?
Yeah, no, like kids? It's good. Even through the winter months now, there's probably been like with the under, like you kind of go through phases with golf clubs, like the under 15, like maybe lads similar to my, like I was lucky at lads above me to play with my age. There might have been as many players.
Sure.
But now like, through the winter months going up, like there's a good bunch of young lads up there that are very eager playing, so it's kind of nice now to be able to play a few holes with some of them and have some company in the grim winter months. So yeah, nah, it's nice.
You notched off a couple of scratch cups and a couple of wins kind of earlier in your career.
Mm-hmm.
What age were you when you decided like this is something A that I'm pretty good at and B would like to make my life?
Well, it was weird. I was kind of deluded at one stage because I remember I was quite young in school, so I played junior cup rugby in fourth year.
You're still quite young.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You're 25.
Yeah, but like, but like for my age group in school, like I was like the youngest in my year. So I played junior cup rugby in fourth year, which you're only allowed to play up to third year, but I could play the year back. And I remember telling my parents like, oh, this is my last year rugby. I told them one day, it's like, I want to go to college in America, but like I'm going to repeat fifth year because I was very young and I hadn't done, I wasn't very good at golf when I was 15, 16.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to repeat fifth year and then I'll get it, like do this and then I'll go, that'll give me another year to go.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they heard it off me and they were just like, okay, like, yeah, great. Like, good man, sure. Kind of thing. Yeah. But like they supported me through it. And then like under 15s golf championship wise, like the difference then after my first fifth year in school of playing golf throughout the winter kind of made a good bit of strides, like good strides, got a lot better going into my under 17, my second last year of boys golf. But like I'd missed every cut in boys golf before that.
Okay.
So like this plan of repeating fifth year, going to college in America, not playing rugby was crazy at the time, but kind of put my head down and somehow kind of got better from then, sort of thing.
What does putting your head down look like? Like how many hours are we talking about practice? And it was a change of mindset or was it a change of actual physical practice?
Well, it was just like fifth year in school. Like it was just instead of finishing school at 3:30 and going to play rugby, like it was probably like obviously November, December, January, not getting out for holes after. But like this time of year, exactly, like going to the range a few more times, and dad was still playing junior cup golf, so that was perfect for him. Like he was good for going to the range. It was kind of like maybe playing golf once a week in the winter because you're playing rugby. I might play on Saturday evening or Sunday to probably playing 4 or 5 times a day. And then, yeah, like it was a 12-year sport golf for me then rather than kind of just April till September.
Yeah. So then you did qualify for college golf in the States. You weren't the biggest fan?
It wasn't quite how I dreamed it to be. But yeah, I like a lot of it. I thought it was going to be all sun and rainbows, like everything would be perfect. But like, no, at the time, I probably wasn't quite mature enough. There's a few bits that I wish were different, that were kind of out of my control. But like, it was weird. Like, I won a tournament there, and I was still wanting to come home at Christmas.
Okay. So you did basically like what, a semester there?
Yeah. Like I won my second tournament there towards the end of September.
Right.
And I think by probably 6 weeks later, I was wanting to leave. So, there was stuff out of my control that I didn't enjoy, but like, I probably organizational. Like, if there's so many kids going to America now, like, you need to. Yeah, I wasn't very organized, wasn't structured with a lot of stuff, and then it just builds up in you. And so, yeah, if I was to say to anyone going over there, like, it was like socially and stuff, it probably wasn't how I wanted it to be. Like, but yeah, just I kind of didn't stay on top of stuff enough, really.
And was that a case of maybe like personality clashes with coaches, or was it like Matt Fitzpatrick very famously went obviously to Northwestern?
Yeah.
And he went to college and was very annoyed when he figured out he had to actually do college.
Yeah.
Was it more of a case of you wanted to just play golf?
Yeah, well, Matt Fitzpatrick, I think, was the number one amateur in the world. I think he had a bit more. There's a lot of qualifying stuff. Did not enjoy that. Kind of wanted breaks between tournaments to kind of work in your game, but they just play. Like, the facilities and stuff where I went probably weren't as close. But yeah, like, a lot of it, like, socially as well, there wasn't probably, you're just, like, I honestly just didn't enjoy, like, living there. So, like, okay, if you're not enjoying being there, like, your school work's not going to be very good.
Everything else
like,
is going to
exactly, yeah. Yeah. So, like, yeah, if you can't enjoy your life there, like, forget about the golf and stuff. But, like, yeah. That was a long time, a lot of learnings from that.
So then coming home, I imagine probably felt a lot more reassuring than any kind of like failing or anything like that.
No, not like exactly. I kind of always thought like America's not something that I want in the back of my mind going, I wish I tried it. It was kind of like, I tried it, it wasn't for me.
That's a much, much better way of looking at it. So then was there added motivation then when you came back to Ireland to kind of win a championship or prove something? Because obviously you won over in the States, you proved you can do it.
Yeah.
Was it a case of you're like, right, let's come back here now. You didn't have a national like title to your name at that point?
I wasn't on any men's squads, anything like that. I don't think I came back going, I need to like prove anything. But it's kind of just like, nice to be able to structure my practice stuff kind of how I want to do it rather than being told what to do sort of thing.
So then you came back kind of in and around like just before COVID hit, wasn't it? A year or so before?
When did I come back? No, I think I came back to start of 2019, I think.
Okay.
So I had like a year full here before any COVID or anything like that.
And so then was it coming back to Ireland then, was that like a natural opportunity for you to reassess things and try and push on, or was it a case of, you know what's working, let's just keep working with that?
It was kind of nice the first while because I didn't start back in college here, so I kind of had January till September. I did a bit of work in a pub, but like there was a lot more time with no school and stuff, so I think I probably got a good bit of practice and stuff done then. But I don't remember too much.
So you got your first win then, or your first senior win with the Ulster men's stroke
play. Yeah,
that was a pretty interesting journey as to how that tournament came about and how that win came about.
Mm-hmm.
You came over from the UK after a tournament there.
St Andrews Links.
Trophy, yeah.
And me and Matt McLean came back and we requested a late tee time. I think that email must have been missed. I think we were off pretty early. So we came back 36 holes in St Andrews, got the ferry, drove. It was probably 3-4 o'clock in the morning we got in, and then we were playing. Then we played together then the next day, and I remember in the second round we were just looking at each other like County Down, firm and fast, knackered, tired, like wasn't going to plan. I remember we were just like shaking our heads at each other just thinking like, what on earth are we doing out here? But yeah, kind of the last day shot would probably one of the best rounds because like that course is so hard. To come, I don't know, maybe six shots behind or something like that to win in the playoffs. So that was pretty, it was worth the trip in the end. But the
conditions turned then as well, didn't they, for the last day?
I think it was, yeah, I remember Rowan Lester shot two really good scores the first day. Yeah, and then, yeah, the wind did come in then and it was seriously tough. It was, yeah, it's one of the harder, obviously it's beautiful, but it's a hard golf course.
Yeah, it can really hurt you if you're not firing on all cylinders. That then got to you kind of your first taste of professional golf then with the ISPS Honda. How was that? Because you were, what, 20 at that point?
22. I was getting 22. Old then.
Oh, getting old, yeah, jeez. So what was that like at that age then, trying to, like, just seeing what professional tournaments was like, DP World Tour tournament?
Yeah.
How different was that in terms of just even like course setup, but then we're also playing with different guys and seeing how they play their golf compared to how you might play for like an amateur championship?
Yeah, it was pretty opening. Like I remember, I think I've parred my first nine holes in Galgorm in like the wet and rain. It was just, like, that's a brutal course as well.
Yeah.
And I shot 11 over for the next nine holes. So it hit me pretty hard. but that guy, yeah, I remember I played with your man, Matt Baldwin. I think he shot 4 or 5 under the first morning, which was maybe the best score in that wave. And like, it was just like the consistency really, like, I remember he was just kind of, it was just boring, but like in a pleasant way. Like, he wasn't stressing too much, a lot of fairways, greens. And I was kind of like, even then seeing him, I was like, I think he might have been like I think he might have kind of been between Challenge Tour and European Tour, and he's gone on and won on the DP World Tour now. But it was like, the thing I remember most was this golf ball didn't really move that much. Like, it wasn't, if there was a right flag, he wasn't trying to cut it 10 yards into it. If there was a left flag, he wasn't trying to hit the perfect shot every time. And like that morning, he actually, to be fair, he went on, had a bit of a nightmare the next day. But I remember like there was the best score on that course of that like wave. I think the weather got better in the afternoon, but I was kind of like, he wasn't like, lads are very like, the good guys are consistent. It's not trying to
not trying to hit the hero shot every
exactly
time.
Like, it's just the consistent, just chip away at it, like just accumulate good shots after good shots, not try and make it all up with one miracle shot kind of thing. So that, yeah, that's kind of one thing that I remembered stood out to me slightly.
Do you take that into application now, or like, do you, are you much of a shot shaver? Because Galgorm's a funny course, I guess, because it's very much a first shot golf course or a tee shot golf course. And from what I've heard, that your driving is very much a strength of yours.
Yeah, well, sometimes it is. Like, I play pretty aggressive off the tee, but like, that's kind of what a lot of lads, you look at stats and stuff, that's kind of
a prerequisite now.
Kind of how golf is.
Yeah,
you hit it good off the tee, or you kind of have to take it on off the tee. And then if you hit in the rough, you kind of reassess where you are. But and then you hit the fairway, you kind of try to leave yourself as short as possible. Yeah, like, would I shape it much? I've kind of gotten better at, like, knowing in practice rounds, like, I might be hitting a little draw. Don't try hit fades. Like, kind of, I would have said 2 years ago, I would have been like, oh, it's a right flag, it's perfect to hit a fade. But if it's a left flag, I'll just draw it in there. But when you look at it, like, very rarely you're hitting both as good as the other. So like, if you're hitting your draws better, you're hitting your fades better, kind of just, unless it calls for it, trying to stick with either or. But like, I practice a lot trying to hit both shots.
Sure.
And then you kind of get an understanding of, if I have to fade it, this is what I do. If I have to draw it, this is what I'll do. And actually, maybe of the 10 draws I tried to hit on the range, only 2 came off. So don't bother today. Try it another time, kind of thing.
So then over the next couple of years, I need to kind of, there's a lot of consistent golf in there, some very good results.
Yeah.
Leading up to 2023 and leading into Malone with the AIG Irish Close. How are you at that point that you don't have like a national title? Was that, we talked about earlier, achieving everything you wanted from an amateur career. Was that very much something you wanted?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I sat on tournament pro as well, so I kind of knew there was going to be a close in the north. So I was kind of, I didn't put too much pressure on myself, but I kind of knew I was playing nicely from kind of middle to end of July. I started playing a lot more like myself. So I was pretty good at not getting in, like, you know, in the back of your mind, I haven't won one, but I wasn't set, like, head down, fixed on, like, yeah, like you go trying to win everything, but I wouldn't have said I was obsessed with, like,
sure.
And I didn't really get in my way too much, so that was kind of nice.
How did that week go for you, like, the going into it? So round one, obviously shooting 68.
Yeah.
You're off to a good start there around Milan.
Yeah. I'd never played it before. You'd always heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Matt McLean would always be telling you it's like paradise, but it's a really good golf course. It's kind of, it's not too dissimilar to Castle, that like where I grew up playing, that kind of old school. I really like them kind of old school Parkland courses. There's a good bit more length to Malone than what, but yeah, like I'm pretty good at them because you kind of see a lot of lads. Fairways are very narrow in a lot of places. I was kind of like, I'm probably not going to hit the fairway if I hit a 4-iron or if I hit a driver. So I kind of hit driver everywhere. Just if I'm going to hit in trees, I'd rather be 100 yards out than 180 yards. I remember the 10th hole there is probably the best example. It's kind of like a dogleg right to left. The fairway goes left to right. And like the fairway's 15 yards wide. I'm not hitting that very often, so I might as well.
But neither,
like,
I remember chipping.
Like, and then even a lot of them old school Parkland courses, playing practice rounds and stuff. Like I know from Castle, like certain holes, well, if you hit in the trees on this side, you don't have much of a shot. If you hit in the trees on that side, there's a gap to run it up to the green. So kind of like spotting out stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're playing that, like, yeah, if I'm gonna hit it offline, the left trees are better than the right ones. So it's such a nice golf course, and it was a pretty decent week.
So then you had a little bit of a wait after the final round. You shot 74 final round before you figured out that there's the playoff. While you're waiting, where does your headspace go and what do you do? Because I guess you're probably just like, you know, this is going to go anyway.
It's not nice waiting. I think Quinton Carew could have birdied the last to have won it.
Yeah.
And I just bogeyed. So you're kind of like, I really stumbled in coming in on that back line. It's kind of nice maybe to have had a 10 or 15 minute break, kind of just hit a few chip shots, tried to kind of say,
gather yourself,
whatever he does, like everyone's saying, oh, like I wish he made a bogey and there was no playoff kind of thing. But like, it was kind of just expect to be in a playoff and kind of try calm myself down. Well, I wouldn't say calm myself down. But it was just kind of like recompose, like hit a few chip shots, breathe, like it's whatever happens, it's going to be all right kind of thing. Just gather your thoughts into like a positive way rather than thinking of I wish I made that putt or I wish I didn't hit that shot there. It's kind of, you are where you are now, forward, how can you get yourself in a better situation
going down the closing stretch. You said you kind of like stumbled home.
Yeah.
Are you very aware of the fact that you're in the lead coming down the stretch?
Yeah, like I knew because I shot a nice round in the third round, so I was leading by a bit. But the 36 holidays, especially when you're in that, like it's, and the weather as well is tricky enough there. There was like storms and stuff early in the week. Kind of just let a few things that I'd rather not happen kind of slipped in, but it's kind of part of the learnings going forward.
How did you manage the 36 holidays? Because obviously those days are thankfully behind you for the most part.
Yeah.
I imagine, unless there's like rain delays in a tournament. But like, how do you handle it? Because you obviously can't be dialed in for every single shot for 36 holes. So what do you do to kind of get through it?
You try your best to stay into every shot. But
But can you stay in every shot?
I'm sure you can. I don't. But I haven't in the past. And that's probably... but it's like that slip up could be a 7-iron to 40 feet and you're fine, or it could be a tee shot gone. Like, I was lucky enough and a lot of that stuff didn't happen. The 36 holidays, it's kind of just eat and drink, and like everyone's going to kind of be in the same position. Like, there's no one
loves a 36 holiday.
Exactly. There's no super like athletes that are like, it's going to take it out of everyone. So just try to do your best kind of thing.
So you go through a three-hole playoff. You're going against the reigning Irish club champion, Quinton Carew. He's in good form. He's obviously looking to go back-to-back. You know him quite well just because of the circuit.
Yeah.
He kind of knows everyone quite well at that point. How do you handle that sort of pressure where you're like, okay, like he can go do something pretty special here, but so can I? What do you say to yourself before you go into that playoff?
I don't really...
Or is it just treated like another?
Yeah, exactly. Another match, have to try, do your best. Like, obviously, the circumstances, you have to try focus on yourself as much as possible. Now, if he hits a shot to a foot and he's tapping it in for a birdie or something, you might have to go for a shot maybe more aggressive than you usually would. But it's kind of just do see it, take every shot as it comes, and kind of just do your own thing, really.
Over the three holes, at what point were you kind of your most nervous? Was it the final hole when you know you got to make that last putt to win? Or was there, like, the second hole, I think you had to, a slider to stay in it?
No, the most nervous I was, I think he maybe had like 6 feet or 7 feet in the first playoff hole to win. And that was probably the most nervous because, like, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, you're standing there hopeless watching. Yeah, that was probably the most nerve-wracking point for me, really. Because, yeah, I can't do anything.
Yeah. So then when you do win, is it, like, what's the immediate reaction? Like, emotionally, is it just vindication? Is it just, like, relief? Or is it just you're just exhausted?
There's relief, but, like, there's such a buzz afterwards. But, yeah, like, I was actually Richie Knightley. I stayed with him that week, and his car broke down or something in Dublin, so he ended up getting a train up to Belfast. So he was coming back with me, and he drove the car home, and I remember just, like...
Yeah, I imagine you didn't want to drive.
Half an hour afterwards, I was honestly just shot. Like, every bit of energy in my body just soaked out. But, like, it was... the moment of it was just kind of... Yeah, like, there was proper excitement, and then kind of almost walking back to the clubhouse, it was more of relief, if you get me. And then just, I was dead in the car on the way home.
Because the night doesn't really end there, because you go back to your club, naturally there's just the procession that comes with winning.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You celebrate? You go back to the castle first?
Yeah, no, there's a nice greeting from a lot of the members and stuff. Because it's late enough on, I think it was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And... what was a 75 hole tournament in the end, coming back from Belfast. I had to make sure I went home and got showered, because geez, you would have had a few people holding their noses from the smell after all that golf. It was a great reception. A lot of members, that would be great support and everything, kind of up there for a pint on Sunday evening. So it was good crack that evening. Anyway, there's a good few of the lads, friends and stuff popped up as well, so that was enjoyable.
It must be really cool then to get to go back to your club, where obviously you were saying you played junior golf, you were playing against the guys who were better than you, learning from them, and then to be able to be one of those guys, come back with a trophy, come back with a national title. That must be like a nice kind of full circle moment.
Yeah, no, especially like growing up, like there's pictures in the hallway of Darragh Lernan, he won it.
Mm.
Like there's a cool picture of a load of members out supporting him. I remember Alex Gleeson won it in Ballydiffin as well. Yeah, so like... people like them were good to me, so it's kind of nice to have seen them win it, and you kind of get that same buzz and excitement off it.
The North of Ireland then came up pretty quick after that. It was a month after,
yeah.
And again, you're in the hunt. Mm-hmm. Another playoff.
Ulster Stroke play. Peter O'Keefe beat me in the close, and yeah, I've had a few playoffs now. So
do you like the playoffs? I mean, it's kind of a coin toss, really, but like
it's kind of like as probably the intense you're kind of going to get in golf, which is kind of cool. Like, it's kind of what you practice for, really. You don't really get that kind of what you do in match play, but yeah, like playoffs, they're pretty, there's a buzz around, there's kind of that nervousness, but it's like excitement as well. So now I'd rather not be in them. You'd rather skip them and win, but like, I've had good and bad times in playoffs, so now they're cool.
Athletes kind of talk about being in the zone for like a certain period. I think if you look at like Sky Scheffler at the moment, he's playing some of the best golf of his life.
Yeah.
If you ignore his putting.
Yeah.
But that month of your golf there, are you kind of in that, we'll call it the zone, where you're not really thinking about anything, everything's kind of natural? Or are you very aware that like you're playing some very good golf here, just keep it going?
It's kind of one of that like... I remember because I think at Q School, and maybe I think I won Dundee Scratch Cup kind of in that period before the North.
Yeah.
You're kind of, you're just not really thinking as much. Like there's one or two bits in the swing. You're kind of like maybe like one thought, but it's only one. Like it's, small little trigger. Like, it's kind of small triggers.
Yeah.
And then like obviously you get a bit of confidence as well, and you kind of try to keep that going, but you kind of, it's golf. Like you don't really know what's going to come around the next day. So you kind of have to still take every day as it comes and kind of whatever you've been doing, like try continue that. But like it's that swing feeling you had 2 weeks, so it's like the same feeling doesn't work the same a few weeks after, so you kind of still have to put the head down and work away at it, and hopefully the form continues.
The close is an interesting championship I always find, because it's the only one that's regularly or mostly always on a Parkland golf course. You mentioned there, obviously you won the Dunery Scratch Cup as well. a lot of professional golf, or most weeks in professional golf, is played on parkland golf courses and stuff like that. So having those kind of wins in a year where you know you're going to turn professional,
yeah,
that must be pretty reassuring. You're like, right, like I can win on these types of golf courses, and week in, week out, that's where the pros play.
Yeah, there is different skill sets involved with, like, a lot of amateur golf at home is link stuff, and like you learn so much that, like, imagination. But like at the end of the day, professional golf, like, scores are so much lower. But I do think it is helpful. People kind of like don't appreciate it enough. I don't think, like, obviously.
Don't appreciate what?
Like the skills, I think you learn, because you hear a lot of people moan about, oh, amateur golf, like, oh, it's nothing like professional, like, shooting level par is miserable, like, sure. But it's like there's skills, like,
par is, like, relative at that point.
Exactly, like, yeah, the like imagination, like, it's, and then when you do go to maybe some more parkland stuff, I think you kind of, you're enjoyed a bit more, I think, after being beaten up on the links course and stuff like that. But yeah, like, it's good to have, like, we're blessed in Ireland with so many links courses.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable, but, like, they do beat you up as well. So, like, I'll miss playing them because they're such good courses, but I don't think the slog of them, it'd be nice to have had a few less rounds. But then the parkland stuff at home, like,
yeah,
that's kind of, you're a bit more happy and relaxed, I think. You're not on edge as much, it seems.
It's a different kind of skill set and different mentality, I guess, kind of playing parkland competitive golf and links competitive golf.
Yeah,
you got to be able to go deep realistically when you're playing either a pro tournament or like the close or somewhere.
Yeah,
that. How comfortable are you with, like, just if you are kind of in that position where you're looking like you're going to shoot a 65, 66, just being like, okay, cool, like, we're going to go 6 under, 7 under here.
Yeah,
let's keep the foot on the gas rather than, like you're saying, par is a great score in a lot of the links championships.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you just have to do your best. Everyone says it, like, take every shot as it comes, but, like, if you're, like, the golf ball doesn't know if you're on the 16th tee box and you're 14 over or you're 14 under. Like, it's, like, obviously, you, like, your swing might feel different, like, depending on kind of what score, but, like, I don't think, yeah, like, the golf ball, yeah. Like, yeah, just take it as it comes, really try do as best you can on the next shot in front of you. It's easier said than done, but, like, you have to try get yourself as close to that place as possible and just, yeah. But you find that, I think, even, like, low scores, people try hard to shoot a low score, but when you look at a lot of the professionals, it's kind of oh, I need to make loads of birdies. But it's actually the guys that don't make the, like, it's your man that shoots the bogey free 6-7 under. It, like, that's the one, rather than the guy that's 10 birdies, like, 3 bogeys. Obviously, that's the same score, but it's kind of like just the accumulation of just, like,
it's a lot less volatile.
Like, boring golf. Yeah. Like, boring golf is usually nice golf. Like,
yeah, it's like what you're talking about, Matt Baldwin, the ISPS. It's like he wasn't shooting anything crazy, he's still shooting 4 under.
Yeah,
when you saw him.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, yeah, no, exactly. Like, it's not. Yeah, like, you'd love to have the Jordan Spieth rounds. Like, they're, like,
I don't know.
No, like, but I think Jordan Spieth would way rather, when, like, watching someone like him, I love watching him because he's so exciting to watch, and, like, he's probably the favorite person to watch. But yeah, it's not. I think his heart's pounding you a bit more than when you watch McIlroy or Scheffler in full flow. Like, you'd rather not be on that kind of breaking at the edge the whole time of anything to happen.
Would you play a similar type of game to Jordan where you're kind of aggressive and up and down like that? It doesn't seem like it.
I don't know, really. Depends, like, because, yeah, no, I don't really know. I don't really know who I'd compare myself to. Probably Brian Harman, because we're both about 5'6", but that's all I can compare myself to, really.
So in and around this time as well, you're playing a lot of team golf. Like, you're on the Senior Cup team. How important is that, like, team aspect to amateur golf to you whilst you're still playing? And I guess, like, for people who are looking at competing or playing amateur golf, like, if you were to give any advice, what would it be?
The team stuff. Like, I remember, like, probably some of the best memories I would have said were when he won Home Internationals in Hankley Common in 2021. That's probably the best buzz I've had on a golf course. Just came down to a final putt when the English lads had about 10 feet, and if he held it, Scotland would have won. If he missed, like, I remember that, like, there was 11 of us at the time. Celebrating loads of other Senior Cup then last year at the Castle. Like, it's kind of like that sort of buzz of like everyone pulling for each other. Like, and then it just, even traveling with like the Irish team and stuff the last while, even if it's an individual event, you're kind of, everyone wants to do well, but it's like supportive enough that it's nice that like, if I'm not going to win, I hope he wins, or like that sort of like, but like some of the best memories from amateur golf definitely were some of the team stuff. Like,
will you miss it, I imagine, now?
Yeah, I will. But like, I think you kind of get to stage, like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, like it is good to be like, but like, I'm still around a lot of the same lads that I've like played with and stuff like that. But yeah, not like it's some crack, but you kind of get to,
that's the way it
kind of works when you turn pro.
So you've now turned professional at this point. This is probably a bit of a funny existential question, but when it comes to your golf and your career and you're looking ahead, do you set goals for what's going ahead?
Nah, I don't write it like, I do, but like, kind of just plan more rather than, like, I'm going to, like, yes, that's setting goals for, like, I don't really, not so much I want to get this. It's more like I'm kind of thinking I need to do, set a goal for I need to do this and that better.
Yeah.
And whatever comes from, like, I know better things will come.
Our outcomes from your goals rather than.
Like, I kind of look at what I can do. Because, like, you could say I want to win this, I kind of think more, how am I going to get there?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, like, someone can hold an 80 foot putt on the last, and then all of a sudden, I haven't achieved my goal. Yeah. Or, like, someone can make a quadruple bogey on the last, and then all of a sudden you've achieved your goal. But like, they're both different circumstances that, like, I just think focus on where you are now, how you can get better, kind of thing.
Control your controllables.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does motivate you then? So if you're not much of a goal setter in that sense, what
like, there's places I want to go to, but I wouldn't say I have it written down. But yeah, like it's golf. Like, you kind of, you're always thinking of what I could do better, where I can get better. Like, that's kind of what motivates me, really. Just, you can never perfect a game, so keep on. We'll try to get as close to it as you possibly can.
Harrington spoke a number of times about advice he'd give to, like, young pros or rookies on the main tour.
And
his biggest one was to just not change anything, like, not change swing coaches or psychologist or whatever it is in your first year, because he's saying that, like, you go to a driving range of a pro event or a DP World Tour event, and there's, like, he calls them vultures.
It's
like your swing coaches and sports psychs kind of hanging around, kind of just ready to jump on you.
Yeah.
What are kind of three non-negotiables that you set for yourself for this year? You're like, okay, I need to stick to this or not change that, or what have you set for yourself for this year?
I've kind of started writing down a lot more of, like, plans of, like after a round, kind of what I did. Like, you'd be quick to shoot a good score and think about all the negative stuff. I'm pretty good at, like, I've started writing down what I did good today, maybe what I could work on. I'm gonna go to the range now for 30 minutes and, like, kind of just trying to add a bit more structure and planning, and, like, a lot more that, like, if I'm gonna arrive 2 hours before a practice round, like,
what do those 2 hours
exactly
look like?
Or even after the round, just like, so you're not being like, you're not there 2 hours after your round. It's kind of like even setting a timer on my phone, like an alarm going, if it's 3 o'clock and I finished, I'm going to the range from 3:20 to 3:40 working on this and that, and the alarm goes, I'm not doing like just putting doing everything like properly. I remember Donald Scott actually said, we were away with men's and women's home internationals last year, he kind of said the guys that make it as professionals aren't always the best. It's like they're the most professional kind of with everything that they do. So I thought that one kind of struck a chord. That was like pretty, because I'd be pretty good at like kind of just riding along, going with it, and whatever comes of it, I'd be pretty good at taking it. But like, you do need a bit more, I think, having a bit of both, a bit more structure, and whatever comes of it, like good or bad, just ride with it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just trying to a bit more structure and like that sort of stuff, I think would only help.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it is professional golf, and it sounds like your non-negotiable for the 3D is to treat it like a profession.
Yeah,
which is, you know, the perfect way to look at it.
Yeah, there's a lot, like, yeah, there's not everything on the golf course. Like, it's kind of there's a lot of stuff around you that's not on the golf course that will help you as well, or can draw you back as well. So yeah, no, just try stay on top of everything. But yeah, a bit more organization. Mum's been beating on to me for years about it, but I think it's finally, like, I'm finally coughing on to it a bit more.
I don't know, to me, a 25-year-old said it's the most organized people in the world.
So. No, well, like, now
you can probably cut yourself some slack.
She'd probably say that how dirty my bedroom is will affect me on the golf course. And that, no, yeah. I'm not believing that. But yeah, just like planning and organizing stuff,
yeah.
I do think could have good impact for me.
So what, you're just back from Egypt. What do the next few weeks look like? You've got Alps Tour status for this season as well. 14 or so?
Yeah, about 14 events. I don't know. They said they might add one or two. But yeah, there's actually a 2-month break now, which is it's kind of nice because I played 2 warm-up events in Portugal and Portugal Pro Tour and the 3 Alps. So just like I've had a good
stretch.
Yeah, 5 tournaments, a lot of like stats and stuff like that to kind of review, look back. And it's kind of nice. You don't really get too often that like – you can get that much rounds and go, I was doing this well, I was doing this badly, and actually have time to get on top of it. So it's kind of nice now to probably 8 or 9 weeks to the next. It gets very busy then, but to try, probably I'd say the next month we'll probably just work in a few bits and pieces, and then into April here you're kind of finally seeing some sunlight.
Hopefully the snow stays away.
Yeah, like you're kind of getting decent weather.
Yeah.
Just try, I would have said the next month we'll maybe work on a few things from a slightly more technical part and then try to get as sharp as possible again for the restart, the start of May.
There's a good cohort now of kind of young Irish professionals or guys who have turned pro, I guess.
Yeah.
Got all in and around your race. I guess your Mark Powers, John Murphy's obviously been on tour a couple of years.
Yeah.
Who do you hit up for money matches, or who will you hit up now for your next 8 weeks?
I don't know. I'd say there's a good few lads around, like Mark Boucher, Paul McBride as well. They're both in Dublin. Yeah, Mark's not too far away. John as well. We like spent a good bit of time with John in Portugal and stuff. Yeah, like I'd say there'd be a few. But I don't think between Challenge Tour and stuff, I don't think there's too many events. It kind of seems like there's a bit of a lull, and then like May, it kind of is full on for everyone. So I'd say there'd be like there's a lot of lads, and everyone's pretty good at supporting one another. And it's kind of they're great because it's like if you can play a few matches against, if you win money, perfect. If you lose money, you're probably going to feel a bit sick driving home. You're going to curse that shot or that shot, but like it's all the goal for making sure you're ready to go in May again, kind of thing.
Yeah. How good is it having that group of guys? Because obviously you drive each other on, you're friendly with each other. I'm sure also there's a good exchange of knowledge between friends.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, exactly. You're always...
Even if it's not just like the actual golf, it could just be like... run.
Yeah, exactly.
He obviously just finished his season on the Alps Tour. He was like, listen, this is where the good hotel to stay. This is why it's made of this. This was X, Y, Z.
Yeah, like I spoke to Ronan before going to Egypt, and he didn't have the nicest opinion of the place. So no, but like, he gave me like a few tips like that was helpful.
Yeah.
Like try stay here, stay there. Like Paul McBride as well. He's been out there the last couple of years. He was there the last few weeks. He was very helpful. Played a bit with him over the winter. Like, yeah, it's... everyone's happy to help each other. Like, it's kind of, it's a hard enough sport that like you might as well be as accommodating and help each other along as much as possible and support kind of one another, which I found is pretty good. Like, everyone's pretty open and helpful with each other.
Nice. Well, listen, thanks very much.
Thanks very much for having me, Johnny. Cheers.
Good luck this season.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Hopefully we'll get you on again when we get the next win.
Hopefully so. Yeah, thanks so much.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.